CCTA wake up call for May 20th, 2023. CCTA wake up call for May 20th, 2023. Welcome. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call. We'd like to have you tune in with us and enjoy the discussion today. I want to say we have some new guests. I'm Bob Griswold, and I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves.
I'm Mary Griswold. I'm the chairman of the CCTA.
I'm Christy Frazier, and I'm a mom of two Generation Zs.
I'm Caitlin Withy, and I'm a progressive feminist who just graduated with her Associates in Arts from Coastal Carolina Community College.
My name is Emily Boyd. I'm from Swansboro, North Carolina. I'm 20 years old, and I am a pre-service music educator and a member of the neurodivergent and LGBTQ plus community.
My name is Samantha Boyd. I'm an 18-year-old from Swansboro, North Carolina. I'm getting ready to graduate high school and study public health at Appalachian State University.
Okay, we are going to talk to Generation Z on this show, and we are going to kind of try to understand their ideas, and hopefully they can understand ours and see if communication is possible. I'm going to start out by asking you, every generation has a seminal moment that impacts their generation. For the greatest generation, it was Pearl Harbor. For our generation, it was 9/11. What would you say is the event that happened in your generation that shapes your worldview and shapes how you look at things?
Easily COVID. I think that is definitely going to be the first response that just about anybody from this generation would give. It impacted our ability to go to school, see our families, travel, have our normal day-to-day experiences. It impacted everybody heavily.
Em?
I would also agree. I think that COVID was probably one of those turning points in our generation, especially it came at during my junior year of high school. So I was almost getting ready to, you know, go into my senior year and graduate. And it was just a very abrupt, very interrupting event that happened.
I mean, I agree with all of them. COVID was probably one of the worst things we've gone through. COVID happened when I was a freshman in high school. I'm a senior in high school now, and I've just had my normal school year, my first normal year of high school, and I'm about to be done. I didn't get a high school experience.
Well, you were also impacted by Hurricane Florence, were you not?
Yes.
A lot of people were unhoused and, you know, had to be displaced.
Yeah, it happened my sophomore year of high school. So I really only got one normal year of high school, which was my first year. And then I had Hurricane Florence, which put us out of school for about 3 months. And then immediately after that, the next year, we had COVID. And yeah.
I think an interesting thing, as you bring up the Hurricane Florence, is that not only were students displaced, but the teachers were also displaced. So all of a sudden, the structure was totally out of kilter.
And the area that we came from was hit especially hard by the storm. We actually had a shelter set up for a few weeks to give people supplies and to give them tarps for their houses. And we had teams going out and fixing houses and taking care of people, because for about a month and a half, 2 months, most of our town still was not accessible because it was either flooded or we still didn't have power. It was very devastating to our town.
Now, I want to ask you something about that. With COVID, you had access to online television. You could do your classes online. You didn't have that with Florence, did you?
No.
Some people barely had power, like, yeah, for a very long time. That's why we didn't have any kind of school for about 3 months. I'm pretty sure we were the last ones to go back
I think Lawrence probably helped us understand a lot about grief.
Yes.
So I think you saw in the eyes of the people that you saw during that time frame the grief that you'd never seen in your lives, and that's something to carry along with you. You'll never forget.
I remember during Florence, I actually went with my dad. We were doing serving for our church group, and we were serving like what we could help. Trees that could be taken off of roofs, you know, without big like machines, and going around to people and having them tell our stories about how their houses got destroyed. And here I am with my dad, like my house was fine. Like that was hard as I was 13 or 14, maybe in eighth grade. And like even seeing that.
Now I want to add full disclosure for Em and Sam. They also went through Katrina. Now they were younger, but they also went through Katrina. They were not in town, but they were displaced.
They were stationed in New Orleans during Katrina.
We saw the devastation it left, and like I at the time was only about four or five. I was very young, maybe even 3 years old. So I don't remember too much of it, but from what I do remember, it's very, very devastating.
I would like to get their thoughts on something that you're probably not ready for this question, but do you have a strong feeling of climate control or orchestrated climate from maybe oversight with the government? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Could you elaborate a little bit more?
Sure. Climate control is based off of Mother Nature. Targeted weather events can be orchestrated, or I have learned can be orchestrated from outside influences. I just wondered what your thoughts were. Is this the first time you're hearing that?
I think that there's definitely, with the increase of technology, there's definitely going to be an increase in using natural disasters to weaken, you know, other governments or competitors or to use for an advantage. But the current climate crisis that we're seeing right now is due to corporations taking advantage of the earth, to put it very simply. Yes, like on a individual basis, we make our decisions, like we use plastic, we drive vehicles, but on we see the biggest impacts from the corporations that are taking advantage of the natural resources of the earth.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm going to ask each of you, where do you see yourself in 5 years, and what are you doing to make that vision come true? I'm going to start with you, Sam, because you've always been last. So you get to be first.
In 5 years, I'll hopefully be in my second year of dental school, either somewhere in North Carolina, hopefully, either ECU, join my sister maybe. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm going to get my undergraduate, so I'm majoring in public health. Obviously, I'm going to App State. I'm in the Honors College. I will be graduating in 3 years. I'm going in with 30 credits, so that means I get to go in my second semester as a sophomore and then my second school year as a junior. So I'm really pushing forward to get as quick to being a dentist as I can be because I'm done with school.
Gotcha. That would be too.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I have made the decision that I do want to get my master's eventually in either music education or in a more specific field, like possibly percussion performance, which is my primary instrument, or in conducting. In about 5 years, I owe 4 years to the state of North Carolina. So I will be teaching in the state of North Carolina for at least the 4 years that I owe here. And then at that point, maybe moving to Georgia and getting a master's program while possibly working under one of my old band directors who offered me a job.
Very impressive.
I plan on being finished with my bachelor's in like 3-ish years. I'm not trying to rush after I just finished my associate's. It took a really heavy toll on me. And then I'd hopefully like to start my own business in Swansboro. And then eventually start getting into the political field, dipping my toes into it, trying to get more involved into the community. And then my political role so that I can make a change as soon as possible.
What kind of a business do you want to start?
I like to have like a little vegan and sustainable cafe in Swansboro and make sure that everything is sourced ethically and sustainably and cleanly. So making sure that it has like really quality ingredients and then also tastes good, because a lot of health and vegan food and stuff of that nature is stereotyped to not be very tasty. So that's just my little dream. It can be a chain. I'm not super, you know, stressed about it being a chain, but I would like to use that to get more involved in the community and have more accessible health in the community of Swansboro.
Many of the political people in our area are entrepreneurs, because the entrepreneurship gives you the freedom to serve your community in ways that if you had a 9-to-5 job, you might not be able to serve your community. So that's a very interesting combination. Sam?
I like that you made that point, because one thing that I looked into studying public health is that I will be working with the public, and there's actually a profession called a public health dentist where I can work as a dentist but be working just for, like, my community, the dental health of my community, and I just think that's super cool. Along with Caitlin, like, I want to give back to my community in whatever I do.
You know what is striking to me is that these young people have had time to actually do more introspective, being away from the schools, and that brings them forward with their thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I notice.
It's definitely, I feel like, hugely driven by social media. So I think we get on social media and then we find certain things that we're passionate about and drawn towards. And then we think, at least this is what happened for me, is we see what we're passionate about and then we kind of work backwards from there. So like, how can I get to that level of fulfillment in my life so that I can, you know, be passionate about what I do, never have to work a day in my life.
I think that a lot of our generation is just really concerned with doing something good for this world. Even if not everyone agrees on morals, we all just want to do something that is going to have a good impact on this earth and have a good impact on the people around us, because I think with COVID, we became more aware of the morality and... Yeah, with just how fast life moves. And at this point, we're all just trying to do something that's going to make a difference in somebody's life.
Oh, thank you for all of the input right now. I think we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors and the supporters of this show. And again, thank you for the participation this time.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Since Caitlin mentioned social media, I'm going to ask all of you to comment on what you think the role that social media plays in your life, and tell me which particular social media that you are most likely to be found on. Go ahead.
So my initial, you know, push into political thought and, you know, similar topics was definitely TikTok. After George Floyd was murdered, political stuff and of that idea really started being pushed onto TikTok. Now, whether that was biased or, like, you know, some sort of manipulation, I'm not really sure, but I did, you know, take the ideas that I found on TikTok and I, you know, did my own research, did my own introspection on them, and, you know, ended up creating my ideas, which I'm lucky to have the ability to do. And I think that platform, with the growing popularity in it, it impacted all ages. It really delved into a lot of intersectional topics. So, I don't know if everybody knows what that, like.
Yes.
Okay. And then also spiritual thought really increased with TikTok. So having spiritual and ethical contemplation incorporated with political thought, I think, really had a widespread impact on people of any age group.
Sam?
I think, like, to go off of that one really point, like, good point that Caitlin pointed out, is a lot of people, like, see Generation Z and see that we're on social media and see that we get our news from there. But as Caitlin said, like, you see something on social media, you have the power to do your own research, and we have the power to do that. And that's a lot I think people don't realize, that, like, we don't just see something on social media and go with it. Like, I'm not about to just sit here and be like, I saw this on TikTok, this is God's greatest words. Like, that's not how I'm saying. And obviously, I've been on social media for a while. I think I got my first social media app when I was probably in fifth grade. Like, I was 11. That's very young to be on social media.
When you hear older generations saying you're spending way too much on social media, or what, spending way too much with a device in front of you, how does that make you feel? Or what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
I mean, I feel like a lot of people don't understand that social media, while it can put you on a screen, it can also connect you to a lot of people. Like, I've made friends over social media, not necessarily like internet friends, but like I've met people in Swansboro that I maybe wouldn't have hung out with before. They're friends of friends that, oh, here's her Instagram, she looks super sweet. Like, it's stuff like that happens like that. I'm not going onto the internet and meeting random people. And I feel like sometimes that's a lot of assumption,
yeah,
for older generations.
I want to comment just on an incident recently with Sam. I don't remember the whole exactly how this happened, but I'm talking about the bag of clothes.
Yes.
Would you explain that?
Yeah, and how social media can be really important. I found this girl through Snapchat that I didn't know, but I used to go to elementary school with her in New Bern. I moved away from New Bern. I didn't reconnect with her until last year. Had no clue she existed. She posted something saying that one of her neighbors had like a horrible house fire happen. They lost everything. They were absolutely devastated. So she put out on social media, if anyone has clothes that they're looking to get rid of, like, please reach out and please help. Like, that is great about social media. I was able to text her and be like, I have a bag of clothes waiting at my grandparents' house for this family. And back on Florence, she was affected by Florence, and she lost everything. So she knew how it felt, and she was able to use social media for good. I think a lot of the times we're looking too far at the bad parts of social media and not the fact that it can connect us.
I think that for a lot of Gen Z as well, the social media, like TikTok, it's something that helps them also to find identities. So with the things that are being taught in school being restricted a little bit more, with the how people are not really as open to the idea of talking about LGBTQ plus people in school, and they're not as comfortable yet with talking more about neurodivergencies in school. What social media has is it has opened up an entire new world of things that people didn't even know existed, because those things were restricted in their lives. So social media has allowed these people to come to these realizations like, oh, I think that I might be part of the LGBTQ plus community, because maybe before they didn't know why they thought like they did, and they might have thought that they were wrong for it because of the societal expectations of these kinds of things. Or they might have figured out that they're was something that they had going on neurologically, like I found out through social media and through rigorous research that I thought I could possibly have ADHD. And for a long time, there were a lot of problems that I dealt with in my everyday life that I didn't know how to explain to other people, that I didn't know how to explain how those things impacted me and how hard I had to struggle to live past those things. And for a long time, I didn't understand why and why I couldn't just be a normal person. And social media gave me the platform and the people to get that information about this thing, this ADHD, and it helped me to realize that just because my brain works differently than someone else's, just because I do things differently than someone else, does not make me any less human, and it does not make me any less deserving of being a human.
I believe COVID did a very good thing for our young people, and it developed your minds to think on your own two feet.
Yes.
And I believe it helped you spiritually grow and know who you are as individuals. Because back in the day, and I could say this, Mary, we had a lot of free time. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of free time. We could go out in the woods and enjoy our day and introspect and enjoy our afternoon, and then it would get dark and we'd go home.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a different world now.
I think, though, that that's what they experienced. Something similar to what we experienced, except
In the modern electronic world.
Right. In our fast-paced world.
Caitlin, you wanted to say something?
Oh, I just want to say that I totally am on the same page with you, Emily, about the social media giving you groups to identify with. I didn't realize that I was pansexual before social media. I didn't realize that I had so many symptoms of mental illness before social media. And then learning so much more about, like I keep going on about, the political thought and the leftist ideology, I would never have been exposed to that if I didn't have social media. I grew up in Swansboro, North Carolina, where it's, you know, heavily conservative, and then even my parents are very moderate. Luckily, I was raised to, you know, have an open mind, but I wouldn't have had the opportunity to have the perspective that
I have. Now, let me ask you a two-part question here. I'm sure you're aware that TikTok is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Are you also aware that what TikTok shows to the kids in China is very different than what it shows to the kids in America? I'm not saying I'm opposed to TikTok, but I wish that what was shown, the type of thing that is shown to the kids in China, the scientific experiments, the museum tours, and things like that, were more on TikTok than some of the things that are there. Okay,
You know, I would say, I think when you get talking about TikTok, this is a very big thing in our world right now, because a lot of people have a lot of things to say about it. I think I was on TikTok when TikTok wasn't even TikTok yet. I was on TikTok when it was still Musical.ly, which was in 2016.
Yes.
And Musical.ly was like a Vine spinoff where people would just post videos of them lip syncing or like dancing to music. And that's all it was. It was just lip syncing or dancing. The TikTok as it is now is not what TikTok used to be. TikTok now is, you can find everything on TikTok. And with finding everything, I think that there are some things that should not be on TikTok. I actually have found that over the last 2 years, There was a time when I was still in high school when I did enjoy TikTok, and I did, like, that's where I would get information from, and that's when I'd go do my research on my own after I get the information, because of course, you know, you can't exactly trust everything that's online. So there was a time when I was getting information that I felt was useful, but now I don't feel like, I think that something shifted, something's mm-hmm. changed whenever, I don't know if it was a development of the app. I don't know if the ownership switched hands. I do not know. But I don't find that the things I see on TikTok anymore are as informative to the things that I think about in my daily life. And I'm not sure why the media has switched all of a sudden into, like, mindless consumption. Yeah.
Okay, now, Sam, you had something you wanted to say?
What are they showing the children in China?
Museum tours, science experiments, things like that.
Like in China? Like yes. Museum tours in China?
Right. Yes.
Like, are you talking like indoctrination stuff?
No, I'm talking about cultural things.
Oh, okay. So, like, are you saying that, like, that's more beneficial for them?
Well, I think it would be. I think it would be beneficial to have more of that here.
Okay.
I mean, I want to see some educational benefit.
So, I think a big difference with that, the type of content that people see is the type of algorithm that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So the app formulates an algorithm based on, like, what you view the most, what you like, the preferences that you select when first downloading the app, all that type of stuff. But I do believe that there is a difference between China's social media and the United States' social media, simply because China is at a point in its governmental structure that they are trying to control and censor the people. They're doing a lot of bad things towards the people, towards protesters.
Toward Uyghurs?
Yes, yes. And minority, like you just said, minority groups. And they have to censor the government so that doesn't get out and on a mass level. So they have a population of 1 billion. If that whole population were to revolt, that would be very bad news for the government.
Well, in many ways, they are revolting. They have an underground Christian force.
Yes. So yeah. What you're saying is similar to the fact that if I'm on Facebook and I click on a real estate ad, all of a sudden my Facebook feed is going yes. to be flooded
yes.
by real estate ads.
Okay.
And that every social media track or every social media website account that you make, you are going to be tracked. There is nowhere on the internet that you will not be tracked nowadays, and that is very normal.
Yes.
Well, remember
that you're the product.
Yeah, remember that if it comes for free, you are the product.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
It's supposedly not going to be for free forever, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's take another break, and we'll be back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The question that we're going to ask all three of you now is, do you feel that you are representative of Generation Z? And if you can think of a couple of ways that you might illustrate that, that would be great.
I personally try to think that I am, that I try to act towards that. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, learning from social media and people of a similar age group, definitely I believe I try to represent those ideas and, you know, have ethical conversations with people who might not be in the same age group so that we can, you know, meet, you know, at least in the middle or, you know, have a good conversation.
Or at least understand each other's beliefs.
Absolutely.
Do you think all Generation Zs feel the need to be what you represent as a group?
Absolutely not. There's, you know, coming from Swansboro, there's a lot of conservatives our age that, you know, choose to ignore that stuff, choose to simply listen to what their parents or grandparents say, and follow, you know, media blindly. And so I don't think I represent those people, but I would, you know, like to be able to connect to them if they're able to.
I think that people-wise, I don't think I necessarily represent everybody, but I think that I represent a lot of the Generation Z that is just very interested in what's going on in this country, because the truth of it is that we're like on the cusp of going into adulthood, or we're just like into adulthood, and the things that are happening now, they may not affect the people that are making the laws in a few years, but they're definitely going to affect us. And I think that I represent Gen Z in that aspect of my way of thinking, I think that everyone deserves to have equal opportunities, no matter your race, your gender, how you identify. I think that everyone has a right to live their lives and live their lives judgment free. I think that I at least represent that idea with the Generation Z. But like you said, I don't think that I represent everyone, because I think that I represent Gen Z more in the way of thinking that a lot of Gen Z has. And like Caitlin said, I don't necessarily think that all of Gen Z has the same forward progressive thinking that a lot of us do, because I didn't grow up in Swansboro my entire life because I'm a military kid. So I've lived here, there, and everywhere. I've lived on both sides of the continent. I've seen all the different sides that the politics can go to. And I think that there are a lot of people in our generation who do tend to, rather than try to formulate their own ideas, will just take what's on the media, take what their parents say at face value.
I think one thing different about me than both Caitlin and Emily is, like, I care about politics, and I'm not going to, like, say that I don't and all, but I like to step back from it a little bit more. Like, they both have, they're both very passionate about what they're saying, and I really respect that. But I feel like I'm less outspoken in that way. I'm outspoken in, like, a different way, as in, like, I want to make a difference. I'm not really focusing much more on, like, the political parts of it. I mean, maybe I should. Maybe in the future I will, but at this point I'm 18 and it all makes my head hurt a lot. But I think one thing that I help represent Gen Z a lot is I'm really into mental health, and I'm really into, like, you, that is important. Take care of yourself. You're living your life. Like, don't put others in harm, live your life, do your thing, and God bless, do whatever. Like, I really believe that, like, Gen Z is a generation that is living their lives and doing what they want. And I think as long as we stay within our lines, we're good.
Yeah. I think that our generation tends to be a lot more understanding, too, like, on the mental health aspect. We're very much understanding of the fact that we don't know everything that goes on in everyone's lives. So while you may not agree with that person in your class who you're having a heated argument with, there's no reason to be uncivil about it, because that's still a human being that goes through things. And their parents may be the reason why they think that way. They may have come up with that idea on their own, and they may have done the research to support it. But just being uncivil and, like, not acting kindly towards another human being is going to do nothing more than just make you a bad person.
I don't have to agree with what you believe,
mm-hmm.
but I have to agree strongly with your right to believe it. And I think that's a place that we have somehow gotten lost in. Go ahead.
I think a main contributor to that is, you know, witnessing other people's relationships with their morality or their perspectives on what is moral and what is not. And having moral issues between each other, like, you're not gonna, it's very difficult to make someone else budge on their moral standpoint. And whenever I first started getting into political stuff, I would get very fiery with people that were fiery with me first, perhaps, or had some ideology that I viewed as immoral. Because, you know, everybody feels passionate about their morality, and I want everybody to be able to make ethical decisions. And some people are simply, at this point in their life, not capable of making ethical decisions. And I think that the most productive thing that we can do for our society is teach people to have ethical conversations and to think philosophically in a way that, you know, allows them to analyze and reflect on, you know, what somebody else might have to say.
I think that's a really good thing that Gen Z does as well. Like, I have conversations with my sister Emily all the time about political things. We don't have the same views at all. We were raised by the same parents, the same exact parents, and we are a perfect example of free will, free thought, and, like, we're both who we are.
Coexisting.
Yes, we both have our thoughts, and we, as Gen Z, can sit down together, and we've gotten in heated conversations. We're sisters, of course. Like, when it comes to political stuff, we don't get in heated conversations as much. We can both listen to each other and listen to what each other's have to say. And I'm not going to say that older generations are not going to do that, because I would never want an older generation to say that my whole young generation is just intolerant. But I know sometimes it's really hard to talk to older people and get them to listen to me. It's really hard to get them to listen to what I'm saying because they have all this life experience. But just because they have life experience, like, I have a different life experience.
Absolutely.
They didn't experience COVID as a teen. They didn't experience social media as a teen. They don't know any of that. That's all something that I have that's special that they don't know about, and that's going to affect my beliefs every day.
Now, I want to ask a question, and I'm going to let each one of you answer it. Do you believe in a universal morality?
I actually just finished with a philosophy class this past semester, and then the semester before that, I took an introduction to ethics class, and that is an extremely hard question to answer. Like, there are so many differences in, you know, religions and previous philosophers that broke down, like, you know, what does it mean to be ethical, especially in the ethics class. We talked about what does it mean to be ethical. And I think that, you know, throughout analyzing those ethical thought processes and ethical systems, Aristotle's virtue ethics is actually something that I would consider to be that. Something that should be universally applied. I think it should and ought to be, but does that mean that it would or will? Not necessarily, and I do think that it would be unethical to force that among the world. So
Do you think that in order to have a structured society, you need some sort of universal morality?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. I think that there should just be, honestly, I do think that there should be smaller communities, which is a completely, you know, different argument. But within communities, there should just be a set of rules based on something that anybody with a reasonable, emphasis on the word reasonable, ethical system should have. So not
Things like don't murder.
Yes. And
don't steal.
Don't cheat on your wife.
This
is where it gets into the ethics issue, where like it's hard to have a universal thing because there's situation everywhere with everything.
And every human being is a unique person. Not a single human being on this planet, except for identical twins. Not really identical, are similar. Every single human being thinks differently. We all do things differently. We all do the same things differently. And we all think differently. And so I think it's really hard to place one set of ethics. Go back and talk about the Aristotle's philosophies.
So, you know, everybody asked about the Aristotle's virtue ethics, which I think is a great topic to go into. So I wrote this paper in my ethics class, kind of breaking it down in a simplified way. And I broke it down in kind of a list of questions that the system asks of a given situation. So is determining whether an action or a situation is ethical? I kind of jotted down these questions to ask to determine that. So the first one is, does this action consider its relation to other objects or its effects on other objects? So, you know, does the action I'm having have an impact on the person next to me or, you know, someone else in any given way, and then analyzing how it will have that impact. The next question is the action done at an appropriate time? So analyzing the timing of that action and making sure that it's appropriate and, you know, as effective as possible in whatever, and applying that to whatever action. Is the action done to an appropriate extent? So are you doing it excessively or sufficiently? Is the action done properly? So the example that my teacher gave when teaching us about this is, you know, is the foundation of the house built correctly? Is the tree chopped down in a way that's, you know, according to regulations, stuff of that nature? And then the last one, which I think is very important, and that a lot of people don't tend to consider, is the action done in a way that doesn't harm the nature of its environment and the people and beings within it? So, you know, is building that house safe and good for the environment or ethical towards the environment? So really analyzing how it affects other people in your life and your surroundings is, you know, the major emphasis on Aristotle's virtue ethics.
I really think that that is a way that we should approach ethics is, I mean, because when you think about ethics, what is ethics to you as a human being? What do you consider ethical? What do you consider not ethical? I consider something that's ethical something that doesn't negatively impact a population of people. It doesn't negatively impact a population of people, whether that's personally, whether that's environment, whether that's politically.
I've experienced somebody who had done some actions towards me repetitiously.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's done more than two or three times, I'm like, you got to go.
Yeah.
So is that sort of what you mean?
I mean, the decision that they're making to do those actions would be they should use an ethical system to analyze those.
I really like how you pose, like, all those questions were really, like, they really make you think of, like, because, again, like, an action done once could be, you know, not unethical, but an action done multiple times could be unethical. You know what I mean? There's different
multiple
ways.
Times.
Yeah. Woo. It's like, hang on.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, let's take another break and listen to our sponsors.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Who's up?
I'm up. I'm going to pick on Caitlin for just a minute. And in talking about universal morality, we agreed that murder was a problem, and that was probably something we could all agree on.
The killing of the innocent, just to clarify for the audience, yeah.
And I want to hear your take on stealing.
So it can really go, you know, either way. If you're stealing from someone, or if you're stealing all of someone's resources that they need to live, if you're putting someone's lives at risk in any way, that is clearly unethical. But if you're stealing from a large company or stealing out of necessity, it kind of makes the situation a little bit less clear. So given the example that you're stealing out of necessity, I think it's an ethical decision because you are doing the right thing for your body or for your family or for your life.
But what about the social programs that are supposed to provide for your needs so that you don't have to steal?
Keyword is supposed to.
Yes. It's not guaranteed that those programs are going to fulfill all the needs of that individual or their family. It really, and then if they have access to it. So there's so many disabled people, for example, that do not have the access to accommodations that they need. Accommodations being like disability checks or in school and, you know, stuff like that. So there's just so many ways that accommodations given from the government can vary from person to person, from, you know, district to district, state to state. It can vary between individuals.
And if you want to talk about like accommodations from the government, something that I deal with a lot in my college is a lot of my friends have the issue where even if they do not financially depend on their parents for college because their parents make too much money, they do not qualify for financial aid, even if their parents are not paying a penny towards their education. Because their parents make too much money, they cannot get any kind of financial aid.
And those students might have to steal the food that they need and, you know, steal any other resources that they need.
And colleges are ruthless on paying. If you are late, you are getting dropped from your classes. It's not a matter of I'll pay you back later. I owe you. It's if you do not pay, you are out of a place to live and you're out of a place to learn and you're out of food.
I think talking about like the ethics of stealing is probably a really good point, like especially with like where the economy is going right now. Like everything is getting more expensive. It's not slowing down. Like it just seems to be getting worse. Like gas will go up and then you'll be like, oh, hallelujah, 20 cents down. Next day it's 30 cents up. Like there is no end in sight. Like we were talking off air about how like expensive shoes used to be like $100, but like that's normal now. Like everything is so much more expensive. Like we're going to start running into a lot of those ethical issues where like what used to make ends meet is no longer going to make ends meet. And you're going to have those ethical issues of a mom stealing for food.
Well, this is where the big box stores are raping and pillaging the people.
Absolutely.
I have gone from shopping at Food Lion and Walmart. I don't go to Walmart anymore, to be honest, and Harris Teeter, thinking, well, my discount will apply on Thursday, to Aldi, and I'm saving $100 a week.
It's I went to Aldi the other day and I'm gluten free. Groceries are expensive. I pay $6 for a loaf of bread, and my bread is 2 inches by 2 inches big. I'm not joking when I say that. I have not had a full large sandwich in years.
But how does stealing, regardless of the necessity or motive, affect other people? Does it?
I think that when it comes to, like, from bigger corporations, there'll probably be increases for making up accountability wise, like, or if there's insurance issues, but I think that necessarily stealing from bigger corporations, I don't think is as ethically bad as say stealing from smaller businesses that are more intimate and are usually selling very community run, because you have a situation where these people are selling these things either because they need the extra money or because it's their sole source of income, versus like a big box store that all the money is going into the CEO's pocket while the employees are getting compensated, but their compensation does not change dependent on whether or not $50 worth of merchandise gets stolen or none gets stolen.
Okay, let me interrupt just a minute, because I'm going to throw a side question at you. Do corporations serve any kind of a purpose? Because what I'm hearing is the demonization of corporations. Do they serve any kind of a worthwhile purpose?
We should absolutely be demonizing these corporations. They treat children around the world unethically. They fill us with poison. Conservative or left, our food is being poisoned with pesticides and GMOs.
Microplastics.
Microplastics like crazy. We are not eating clean food because of these big corporations. We do not have access to health because of these big corporations. And
97% of the big corporations are stealing from us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to add, Are we victims of the big corporations? Are we victims of big government that's allowing these corporations to do what they're doing?
I think that it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
I think that you can't have corrupt businesses without corrupt government. How can you corrupt the government? You can corrupt the government through money, right? And who's giving this money to the government?
Yeah.
The big businesses that
Who's
are
paying for campaigns.
Who is? Mm-hmm. Who are the people that are really funding these issues? And it is the big corporations. And I completely agree that we should demonize these big corporations.
And it digs down into the lobbyist going after the big money.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're big for a reason. They have a lot of money for a reason. And I'm not, like, back to the ethics of stealing. Like, I'm not sitting here being like, go to your local Walmart, take everything. Yeah. I'm not sitting there for a second saying that. But like, these big corporations have insurance for when these things happen. Like, they have more of a cushion.
I agree with everyone,
and especially
everything that they've said, because that is exactly where I am right now. I am at the point where I am not going to go to the big box.
Mm-mm.
I am not going to support the big box. I'm not going to buy the Kellogg's. I'm just not going to do it.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm. To build off of that, I think the actions that we should be pushing is boycotting these companies. They depend on us, the customer. And if they don't have an audience, if they don't have people to serve, then they don't have a business. They might, investors and stuff like that. But eventually, if they're not making money, their investors are going to fade away. If we as consumers, as individuals, start investing our money into more ethical businesses, then that those ethical businesses are going to be the ones that thrive. So boycott, and if you need to, steal.
It doesn't have to be all at once. Change is gradual, and adjusting to change and trying, especially changing the way of life that so many Americans are accustomed to.
Do it's you believe be, that change is happening?
I believe it is. I believe that change is trying to happen, and I believe that we are a progressive generation, but I don't believe that we are progressive as a country yet. I think that we are starting to move in the right direction, but I think that there are still little obstacles that are getting in the way of us fully becoming a progressive country.
I really agree with that. And back to like all the businesses and stuff, I've been working at a small business for over a year now, and my boss is always, every customer that comes in is always like very happy about the fact that they get an experience when they go in there. They get her knowing them by their first name. They get a friendly, like, I know my customers, I know their orders, I know that. And like, she always puts so much emphasis on like how important mom and pop stores and small businesses are. And I think we really need to work in it as an effort, like in America, to switch back over to those, because that's what started us. Like Walmart at one point was a small corporation. It wasn't what it is.
I was going to add that when you talk about the mom and pop stores, one of the chinks in the armor, though, is you would see a number of people, and I'm going to pick on whether it was a hi-fi store or a radio store or something like that. Somebody would come into a radio or television store and ask the intelligent clerk about a radio, a television, or whatever, some device, and ask and get all the information about that. And then they would leave there and go to the big box store and get it for 20% off.
Correct.
And I realize that's a shame, because I've wasted that clerk's time, and I've...
I want to mention one thing. You're talking about big box stores versus mom and pop businesses. One of the side effects of the COVID lockdowns was the largest transfer of wealth in America from small business to the big box stores, because the big box stores were not having to shut down, and the small businesses could not comply with some of the requirements that were being put on them. And the big joke during COVID in some places was, we can't meet in our church, but we'd like to meet you in aisle 6 of Home Depot and have church. And it resulted in a very large transfer of wealth from small companies to big companies.
Now, I'm going to interrupt quickly. We're going to have about 2 minutes to wrap up, so go for it. We've got about 2 minutes, so...
The reason that the big corporations were able to put it simply, were able to thrive during COVID is because they had the money to do so. They had the money to stay open and, work with the government in that sense.
It's also like back to our earlier conversation, how those big corporations are the lobbyists, the ones supporting the political campaigns. They're the ones that have the money. They're in the government. They don't have to shut down, because the government they're paying the government. They're allowed to not do that.
And what is the cost of the cheaper products? What do we give up to let these products be cheaper? We let them put microplastics in our body. We let them feed us processed foods that are full of chemicals that not even should be touching a dead body.
It's true. I have seen some foods that have appeared on some kind of social media from, I don't know, 2 years later, a McDonald's sandwich.
Why is our health in America so terrible? Why is the individual health of all American citizens so bad? Why is obesity so high in our country? It's because they take these shortcuts.
Or processed food.
Yes. I'm gonna stop. We're running out of time. And first of all, I just want to thank the three representatives of Gen Z for coming here and talking to us and giving their insight. I do want to mention that we hope we've given you some insight into Gen Z. They do not necessarily represent the views of the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, but we welcome their input. And we're so thankful that you guys were here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting us share.
10 seconds each. Go ahead. Any last comments?
Things in small businesses will become cheaper if we give them social programs to give health care to their employees and stuff similar like that.
Okay.
I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here.
We just need to be more open to listening to other people. We're all human, and while we may not all be the same, we have to be kind to each other.
Love it.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, folks, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this show as much as we did.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years.
Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.